We're trying to understand, once again, we're in the studio of Kabbalah Yisurim. Why there's Yisurim, what the Hebrew Yisurim is, the whole studio. We understood that sometimes what looks to be a destruction can actually be a building, what looks to be a building can actually be a destruction. And we were focusing a little bit on trying to understand, not that you can understand, but just trying to get a little taste via this eyewitness account of Rabbi Chanan's last moments. Where he was giving his Talmidim chizuk and not just chizuk, but teaching them halacha, that you're about to be Makadosh Shem Shemayim, you're about to be brought up as a korban for Kol Klal Yisrael, therefore you need to be you need to be pure, your thoughts need to be pure, etc., etc., etc. So we're on Reish Mem Vav, Himshech Rabbi Chanan. V'tishu ba'av le'soisi erev anachno emri. It says that in Lel Tisha B'Av we say in the Kinnas there that in fire you took it out, and with fire you in the future will rebuild it. Zumat HaMeis HaMeis just got destroyed by fire, and in the future it's going to rebuild Ba'esh. It says that the third Beis HaMikdash will come down from Shemayim in fire, in Ash. This fire that's going to eat our bodies. Which fire is it that's rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash? The fire that's consuming our lives, the Rabbi Chanan said. Kol Yehudi hu levina shel eish v'binyan ha-beis ha-shlishi. Every Jew is a brick, is a block of fire in the rebuilding of the third Beit HaMikdash. Right now, ki elecha horgonu kol hayom. Because we say, for you we are killed all day. For you, we are killed every day. What do you mean, for you, we're killed every day? The Kabbal is how you surim ba'av, Rabbi Chanan talking, let's accept our suffering with love. When the chush b'schus, sheishnani leis kabbalah shel klal Yisrael, and let us say, sense, let us feel, let's internalize the incredible merit that we have of being kabbalah shel klal Yisrael. V'kach halchul kulam v'simcha l'mavis al kiddush Hashem, and they all went v'simcha, to give up the lives of Kiddush Hashem, Yitzhak Avinu Shalach La'Kaida, K'chosan Ahilech L'Chuposay. With the same sense of the Chosan Galiz Chupa, they went off to give the lives to our soul. These are very high levels and very hard for us to even get a grip on. Very hard for us to sense this. Especially as Jews who value life so much. The concept of there being a way of giving up your life as a higher concept is very hard for us to grapple with. But at the same time, we sense something very noble in us. Very, very noble. They were going to die anyway. There was nothing they could do. If there was anything they could do to save their lives, they'd been obligated to do it. But when there's nothing you could do, you daven continually for Yeshua, I'm sure they did. But Rabbi Chanan understood, and it must be they understood, if you read the Ikfus HaMashincha, clearly understood what was going on. He knew that that's what was happening. Like the Sarai Ruga Malchus, the 10 martyrs, they died. They knew that this was the Ratzon Hashem, that they gave up their lives, and that was a kapara for the Klal. Rabbi Chanan clearly understood that's what was going on here. Kvasheni banu. Hachurban va'arach shal yadut Yeropa. Not what Rebecca was kind of speaking about. That destruction of the European churban. Haima she'etzilut yadut kol ha'ilam mitfir ruchonis u'mashar ruchonis. It was the source of that physical destruction that enabled us to survive the Holocaust we're going through today, which is a spiritual Holocaust. Rabbi Chanan was in America. Rabbi Chanan was in America. Ulam hu pachad ki tiye gam sham shoah. But he was terrified there was going to be a terrible Holocaust in America, and he was right. There was a terrible Holocaust in America. He saw the terrible assimilation going on in America. He saw the incredible destruction, spiritual destruction that was taking place in America in those days, in the 50s. What was bothering Rabbi Chanan in the last moments of his life, and he was about to be taken out and slaughtered by the Nazis, what was bothering him was, what's going to be with Yiddishkeit in America? Rabbi Chanan was in Kovna, in the Kovna ghetto, right? And he's lost. What was bothering him more than anything is, what's going to be with Yiddishkeit in America? He sent his son to America to go to California to start Kiruv. Chanan brought Reb Simcha to America and sent him to Los Angeles to start the first bit of Torah that there was in Los Angeles. Reb Moshe was in New York. Reb Aaron was in Lakewood. Reb Rudeman was in Baltimore. He sent Reb Simcha to Los Angeles. Can you imagine this little Chanan? How did he even know there was a thing called Los Angeles? And he sent Reb Simcha, go start doing Kiruv in Los Angeles. But his last dying thoughts are, what's going to be with Yiddishkeit in America? And look how right he was. Rabbi Lashev said it recently. It wasn't that recently, a year or two ago. Rabbi Lashev said the Holocaust, the spiritual Holocaust today, quantifiably much worse than what happened in Northern Germany. And we understand it. They lost their bodies. They went into Shemayim. Kula Kodesh. Jew dies of Kiddush Hashem, he dies because he's a Yid. Kula Kodesh. And what's happening in America? They're giving up their lives for what? They're giving up the Yiddishkeit for what?
I had a chiddush a little while ago that the source of the Makor is from Hollywood, Hollywood, the Vodavara.
Hapricha v'ha v'ashigshug, don't know what that word is, haruchnim, Hebrew modern word, I don't know what that is. Sigshug. שזכינו להם היום בכל העולם כאשר אלפי אלפי בעלי תשובה בורחים מן השקר ושובים וצור מחצבוסו. Today we see that thousands of בעלי תשובה fleeing from עולם השקר and coming back to the rock that, what's the word, that engraved them, that sculpted them. השיגים האלו בואים מכוח עיסה גדושי מושלוחם לאיש. Where do we get that koyach to be Bala Tshuva? Where does some 13-year-old kid sitting in London wake up and want to start keeping Shabbos? Where does some guy who's the producer of one of the most famous rock groups that ever was, living a life in Hollywood, of who knows, Mem Teshare Tumu Kapshute, wakes up one morning and Tshuva with nobody? After a while he decided, I can't carry living in America, there's nothing here for me, I'll go to Israel, there's Jews there, maybe I'll find something. He didn't know there was a place called Osamayach, he didn't know there was a Bolshevik movement. He arrived in Israel, somebody said, you should go to Osamayach. He said, what's that? He went to Osamayach. He suddenly today is a very choshev rov, himself carrying lots of Bali Tshuva. How did you have, where did that come from? How did we all have the schus to suddenly wake up one day and start keeping it? Because of those Kadeshim Elyon that gave up their lives, they went up in Aish. We got, that Aish gave us the ability to come back. On the back of that chorban of Yiddishkeit in Europe was born a new generation. That generation that will merit to greet Mashiach. That's what that was going on. How? Why? Where? Boom! Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the sugya so well. We're not going to understand it, but we see it. We see it. Look at the incredible revival. You see this very often in Yiddishkeit. You have a terrible, terrible matzah, and on the back of that seed, so to speak, disintegrating, we see beautiful trees blowing. Look what happened to the Jewish people since then. You ever seen a bigger watershed, a bigger turnabout? The Jews in the Holocaust were nothing. Cattle fodder. We don't understand what it means. Your life was worth nothing. Nothing. Revive Mendel, if you get a chance, Kadar, to look at, just to get a sense of what the moral values of that door was. You know, we don't understand, very important to understand this, we don't understand that a lot of who we are and a lot of our value systems, okay, have nothing to do with who we really are. They're societally imposed and they're very superficial. Today it's not fashionable, okay, it's becoming a bit more fashionable. You know, up to 10 years ago, it wasn't that fashionable to be a Jew hater, yeah? Holocaust denier. Yeah, someone go around the streets of New York killing Jews. Yeah, even the New York cop who doesn't love us that much would take the guy and put him in jail and think the guy's a barbarian. Why? Because today it's not so fashionable. But 100 years ago, killing Jews was totally so societally acceptable. Rav Eisenman will bring that in safer. There was one of the members of the Knesset, the State of Israel, I haven't been found yet, but the Jewish agency and the budding infrastructures of the Jewish state. One of the high officials, hiring officials, Rav Eisenmandel went to him and tried to get money. Rav Eisenmandel had deals going where they could bribe the Nazis to save Jews. There was a lot of atzolos nefoshes taking place by bribing Nazis to let Jews free, and thousands of people were saved that way, but they couldn't raise money. The problem with getting money from Americans, there were some very firm Americans that said it's against the law. America's at war with Germany, so you're not allowed to give money to an enemy state. So there were some very from reformed American Jews that had a big conference to say we're not allowed to give money to save Jews because it's against the state, the laws of America. Very patriotic, Rahman al-Islam. But Rav Aaron and Rav Moshe, Rav Simcha, Rav Leizer Silver, and Mike Treff, these guys are running around, mamas trying to raise money. Rav Kalmanovitz on one Shabbos, right? He saved the whole Mi Yeshiva on one Shabbos. He raised all the money needed to get the whole Mi Yeshiva out of on Shabbos. He was driving around Shabbos, got all the Bruch Nefesh. Rav Aaron called him and said, go! They had an opportunity to save the Yeshiva. They did. They saved the whole Mi Yeshiva. They raised all the money and wired across hundreds and thousands of dollars. They went to all the shuls on Shabbos, went to every shul and cut on the bimah and give money now. No pledges. Because look what they saved. The Brisker Rav, the Brave Malin, the Cheska Levenstein, the whole Mi Yeshiva, 632 Eden, or something like that in the Mi Yeshiva. So people are running around trying to save money. Anyway, Rav Weizmann brings down in his Sefer Banner Matsari. Mary could ask to leave him. The Tal is ready. Writes that he approached one of the Jewish agents who were trying to get money. Eventually, I said, look, we're not able to give you money, whatever, but I just want you to know. He said, I'm a chemical engineer. And I can tell you now that the gas the Germans are using doesn't cause any suffering. You have to know the people when they're dying, they're not suffering. You don't have to worry. It's fine. That's what he says. The Weizmann writes, that's what he said. And he says, he realized then, he said that's when you strip away all the social conditionings and you strip away all the niceties and all the customs and chivalries and whatever, when you get to the core, that's who the person really is. Who is the person really? In those days, it was socially acceptable. He didn't say anything that. Can you imagine somebody getting up today, Jan, saying that? Imagine some member of parliament getting up and making a statement like that today. In those days, it was acceptable. In those days, because those were the social values. Jews were cattle fodder. And even the Jews understood that a Jew was cattle fodder. There's no way they were going to lift a finger to save a whole bunch of old frumyidin from the gas chambers. They just shouldn't suffer. Fine. That was where the moral standings were set. So you have to be careful. The Gemara says that Amma Aris is Cheshron Tzicha. Amma Aris is Cheshron Tzicha. So how do you get into a taxi with a secular taxi driver? He's Cheshron Tzicha. The Gemara says Cheshron Tzicha. Come on! I know plenty now. That guy, he wouldn't harm a fly on his enemy's head. You know what? Because socially, it's not acceptable today. But strip him to the core, see what's really there. Gemara says, I'm not looking at who the guy is with all his social conditionings. The Gemara understood how to get to the core, the heart of what a human being is. The core, the heart of a human being who doesn't have the restraints of Torah, be careful, the guy could become a murderer. You don't know. And we see what happened. Come on, please, man. A doctor, when one looks back and says everything was a guy, I mean, he's fine, a more refined, sweet, nice guy. What are you talking about? You're talking about a yid? Yeah, because today it's gift wrap. Take away the gift wrap and see who the human being really, really is. Well, I think there's an old share on this, and Moedic Shlomo Melech did a whole experiment. Shlomo Melech, there's a whole Gemara, I'm not going to go into it now, a whole experiment with a husband and a wife. We got the husband to kill the wife, and then the wife to try and kill the husband. That's a whole very fascinating Gemara, Shlomo Melech, to prove this Nakuda. When you strip somebody down to who he really is, that's when you find out who he really is. Take away all the, you know, as Reb Chaim said, for the first 3 days of a baby's life, you can see the baby. Afterwards, it's all just imitation. 3 days or 7 days, I can't remember. Very good imitators. So if the societal norms out there are, you know, to be, you know, go learn a bit of history. Go learn a bit of history when the social norms weren't so pleasant. You see, people were barbarians. In China, the social norms are that you kill babies. The tax reform laws require that. You know, if you have girl babies, you kill them. The Greeks used to kill the boy babies. And that was socially acceptable. Today, if you would tell me that, you know, we're killing babies because that's how you get, you know, the good tax breaks, like the Chinese or whatever, you'd be outraged. We are outraged. But the societal norms in China make it like, you know, the same as in the Greeks. It was kind of acceptable.
Is that just by Amharic or any... Mm-hmm.
Shlomo Melech brings it there from the Talmud Chacham that you see when you strip the Talmud Chacham to his core, he couldn't even obey Shlomo Melech. Because his core was, I don't kill. Even though Shlomo Melech had commanded him to do it, he couldn't, because that went against who he really was. Once again, it's hard to know when we talk today about what's a Talmud Chacham, what's an Amar Eretz. It's very hard to know exactly what the Gemara is talking about, who the Gemara is talking to. But the lesson is well taken. A lot of who we are and a lot of what we do, you know, just look at the stereo of our lives. You know, as Rabbi Lozner said, that the fear of heaven should be just as great as your fear of boss of a dog. Look how you behave when you're alone, and look how you behave when you're in public. It's a very different story, right? So that's who we really are. You know, get down to who I really am, neto. Strip off all the. And then see, who am I really?
Reflector said, I was curious, one of the last things he said, that the point of cure isn't to convince on, it's to remove all the outside norms when the people are yet come out. It's not a matter of to convince them one way or other and to skew them to a different society. To give them enough to blow away the society that's
falling. Yeah, you look at Rabbi Tetzel Shrimp. If you analyze what Rabbi Tetzel is doing in all his shirim, what he's doing is two things essentially. He's taking it out of your intellectual depth, and he's taking it to a place that you don't know existed, but not so far out that you lose touch with it, and at the same time showing you that there's a value system which is exactly the opposite of the Western value system. Yeah? So you're out of your intellectual depth, and you're looking at a world exactly the opposite of the world you used to. And that forces you to start looking at the world and yourself differently, and hopefully draw the correct conclusions. Not everybody's already even meant to draw the right conclusion. Yeah, Rabbi Chanan has a whole essay on that in the Kovitz Mamari now, but in the back of the Kovitz Haris. Rabbi Chanan has a whole essay on just what's the mitzvah to believe that there's a God. Aristotle couldn't get it right, so how do we expect our 12-year-old daughters to get it right? It's an intellectual thing. How do you expect an intellectual, a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old Jewish boy to intellectually grip and understand, you know, that, you know, not to be a min, and Aristotle with his genius, okay, couldn't get it right. So he says, because the Ikka Mitzvah is to just stop being stupid. It's just, you know, is to clear away the muck. And if you look at the world straight, you understand. These trees did not make themselves. So they did. That's all. Just stop being stupid. That's what he says. The mitzvah, the biggest, and he brings that, he says that's the biggest miracle in the world. There's no greater miracle in the world, okay, that people are able to deny that the world was created. Because they can't deny anything else was created. The Sefer didn't write itself. Ink didn't spill on the page, and over a few thousand years these words evolved. Everybody understands that. Everybody understands that this machine did not make itself, right? And if you were trying to prove, if I were trying to prove to you that it did make itself, you wouldn't stick around for that performance too long, yeah? And yet everybody prepared to buy into the fact that the world created itself. We created ourselves, and we happen to evolve. And nobody seems to resist that one too much. When Darwin got up and gave his classes on evolution, no one threw him out the room. And he got up and tried to prove that this thing made itself, they would have thrown him out the room. Muhammad says that's the greatest miracle that there ever was. The greatest miracle that there ever was. It's a magical thing. We take it for granted. No, look, it's, you know, it's obvious that the world created itself, but I really fought hard to get some imuna, yeah? Imuna is posh. It's obvious to anybody, just opens up his head a little bit. What's the problem? I hate the clothes, so that's what you have to do. You have to clear away all the dirt and allow the mind to think properly, yeah? Okay. Shreifas Beis Elokeinu is my latest Mashiach. Chazal HaKadoshim Magarim Lanu Ki Davka HaRega HaKasha BeYoseh BeTisha B'Av. Chazal revealed to us that if Davka the most difficult moment of Tisha B'Av, HaRega Shebo Ochza HaEish BeBeis HaMikdash, Davka where the fire was burning in the Beis HaMikdash, who are Rega Shabor Noila the Mashiach? We say that Mashiach was born in Tisha B'Av, right? What does that mean? Laura Amor Leil, Mizbarim Advarim Kamin Choymer. Like we said above, we just don't understand. Kashir Gyo Haheder Vachoshech Latz Mosom Hamole. When the Haheder, we spoke about the void and the darkness, comes to its greatest, fullest strength, Dafka Av Noitza Agilu Shaladis Mashiach. And that darkest moment, that's when the light starts shining. That's when Mashiach is born. When that aspect of the world of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, that world that's screaming every second, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Shoytzeich Meretz Mitzrayim, when that's completely silenced, when we're going to a massive of total hest upon him, that's dafka when the seed of Mashiach is sown. Remember we said there were two anoichis? There's anoichi Hashem Hoitzeichem Eretz Mitzrayim, Hoitzeichem Eretz Mitzrayim, and then there's the second anoichi, the anoichi of going out of Yerushalayim, right? There's anoichi that took you out of Mitzrayim, there's anoichi that took you out of Yerushalayim after the Churban, which is anoichi hesta asir ponim, that will surely harden my face. It's the same Hashem, it's the same anoichi, it's the two different tekufas. So as the tekufa of anoichi Hashem, asher hotzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, is coming to an end, what's happening? There's a new anoichi, asta hasta ponim, right? It's from that darkness that Moshiach will be born. אז גילנו את הנכי בכיחס עצמנו, הוא הפך להיות חלק מעצמסת. And that's פשט, we've got two moments just to start. אבן מעשה הביינים הישה לראש פינה. It's דווקא the cornerstone that was denigrated, that's going to be the ראש פינה, that's going to be the foundation stone. הקוש ברוך הוא אחי וספי תמיד נשקדי לבנויס על חורבנויס על בניין הדעה אז. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in order to build on its churva, on the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, binyan adad, an eternal building. Binyan she'en acharav churban, that there can be no more churban. Binyan za'en yoichel le'ibonos, ela yosoides itonim umutsokim. It can only be built, the foundations of this Beis HaMikdash can only be built on foundations of the... Itonim umutsokim. It's talking about difficulties of the...
Mutsak is solid.
Solid?
And Mutsak.
Mutsak means solid. Stable. Can they be built on foundations that are standing stably or whatever? Hashem kach, alayin lachfor, we have to dig, ula'amik ha'asyodus, we have to dig these new foundations. Va'amnam, anu chifim v'ma'amakei ha'adamah. Chocholov and the Fisher, Dovka, Leris, Bethnino, Alayna Lamoy, Benisainis, Yisurim, Shalom, Nitnosa, Behem, Shumdor. We have to withstand and overgo and suffer tests and Yisurim that no generation ever had to deal with before. Amen. So, Nachnan in time, the Machshecha Adoma, Achakosh and Nachnan Ma'amikim, Yoysa, Esa Yisaydas, Kachi Egam, Abinian, Godel Yoysa. In Achinami, we're standing in the depths of the earth. We're digging deep into the ground. We're getting lower and lower, and darker, and we can't get our head into the oxygen. But the deeper we go, the more solid, the muscle we used yesterday, the more solid that building will be, because the foundations are very, very deep. We say, whoever Mesamayas Chosim Kala, Ki'ivu Bona Echan Michul B'Yerushalayim. It's as if he rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. What after the ruins of Yerushalayim? Why don't we say everything? We rebuilt Yerushalayim. No, because it's dafka on the ruins of Yerushalayim that we're building. You first need the churva, you first need the destruction, and then you can build on that.
But building that ruin. Not building that ruin.